Welcome to Season 7 of Retrain Your Brain with me, Chartered Psychologist Dr. Audrey Tang. It's the show where being mentally healthy is not simply about just being able to cope, but also being able to thrive. And I'm going to give you the tools to get there. In this podcast, I'd like you to indulge me with a slightly personal story about patience. My little puppy, Brandy, well, she's not so little and not so much a puppy anymore. She's about 15 years old, has gone blind. It happened practically overnight, though, and it's an unfortunate symptom of diabetes. And one thing that I read in all the articles is that dogs adapt. And not only that, but I often talk about how it's the psychology of the human mind that makes us more hesitant, fearful, or worried. We know that we can't do something and that can lead us to overthink or catastrophize, whereas dogs, on the other hand, will just respond to the present. I'm hungry, I need a walk, I know my home, and I'm okay. So it turns out that I'm actually struggling more than Brandy is right now. I mean, she's hesitant on her walk until she can feel the tug of the lead and hear my voice. We've now got rugs to change the textures in different rooms, and we have blocked the gaps in the banisters on the stairs just in case. Yesterday, I was waiting on the stairs for her and she headed into another room in the house that she doesn't normally go into. And after doing it a couple of times, she made her way back to the bedroom and started again. She found the stairs and navigated herself down them slowly but surely. She seems genuinely okay. She sleeps, she goes to the toilet, she eats. She's not drinking quite so voraciously as she was when I first called the vet. She's slow, but okay. I used that phrase on a message to a very, very dear friend, and his response was, "You know that slow but okay is a good mantra." He's right. Patience really is a forgotten virtue. How often do we, especially as adults, think, "I need it now, I want results now." And it seems worse if the outcome takes a little longer to arrive than we've been hoping for, or maybe our patience just wanes. I use the example of planting seeds. We don't nurture them, water them, and then shout at them to grow. So why do we do that to ourselves? Well, in part, it's our fast-paced culture. Information, conversation, distraction, they can all reach us within the touch of a button. Of course, technology is responsible for a number of wonderful developments too, but it has drawn us away from our state of human being to one of human doing, and now human doing too much. We fear to press pause in case we lose out or miss out. We overcommit because we fear those who are asking us will actually go elsewhere. We see being busy as a status symbol, and yet a moment's breath may allow us to question whether we really wanted what we think we might miss, whether those who are asking us give us as much reciprocally or just simply take because they can. And if being well is actually a better aspiration than being busy to have. In many of my articles, I will often suggest mindful practice. For example, learning to breathe deeply so that the affirmation, "Even if I can't control anything else, I can control my breathing," may allow you to find that headspace. Or perhaps use some reflective meditation to review your day in a safe environment and set a positive intention to move forward. But instead, today in this podcast, I thought I would give you 5 tips that can calm your mind while not needing to spend too much time inside it. Number 1, jigsaw puzzles or Sudoku or the Zentangle. Rather than Candy Crush, which powers up adrenaline and dopamine as you pass the time, consider instead a jigsaw or a Sudoku puzzle. Or if you don't have anything to hand, try a Zentangle. I've spoken about Zentangles in previous podcasts, but the Zentangle is a doodle with a rectangular border where you draw whatever you like inside until you fill the space, squiggles, shapes, letters, numbers. Not only will you have allowed yourself a moment to breathe, but if you never thought you could be creative, you've even got something to show for it as well. Number 2, engage in healthy substitutions. If you have done everything you can in pursuit of an outcome and you simply have to let time work its magic, turn your attention to something else. This can be a pursuit you enjoy, or ideally one that moves you towards a different goal you have planned. Perhaps you even have some personal development reflection questions you can ask yourself. Perhaps you might plan your next goal strategy. Perhaps you simply want to spend a moment to admire what you've done. And if so, photograph it and save it to remind yourself. If personal development is your thing, try the following questions. You might even consider them as you listen to this right now. How could I be kinder to myself or support myself? How could I be kinder to others or support others? What would I still like to learn and how could I do so? Do I have 1 to 5 good friends I can trust and count on? And who are they? Do I feel energized, neutral, or let down about my work? Am I in good health or at least pursuing it to the best of my ability? Do I spend my free time doing a variety of enjoyable activities? What core principles or values, for example, honesty, do I have and how does my way of living reflect them? You can ask yourself those questions at any time. And I find doing some personal development work when I am at a loose moment stops me from doom scrolling through social media. Keep an impatience jar, a bit like the swear jar. Every time you catch yourself either beating yourself up over not doing something fast enough when it's out of your control, or perhaps feeling impatient with others, put some money in, or maybe put in a positive affirmation that you can use instead next time. You could even gift the jar of positive affirmations to someone else at a later point. Keep a tracker. Sometimes we just think something hasn't changed or grown or improved, but that might be because the difference is so slight. In the same way as you might track your run or your weight or your food or your sleep, consider tracking the improvements you're making. Perhaps you might even do this in the form of gratitude practice. Today, I was grateful my dog was able to run around in the garden with confidence. And this also has the added benefit of allowing you to see just how long certain things take. Try to intentionally delay. I've written in a previous blog and I've said on previous podcasts that I'm one of those people who opens their presents on the day they arrive. And impulse can sometimes be a very charming trait of mine, but it can also be a big strain on my wallet and my time. Instead, learn to delay gratification. Whether it's waiting to have that dessert or sweet treat, or holding off so you can watch that Netflix series with your partner at a time you can both enjoy it. An affirmation I like to remember here is, what if my enjoyment of the outcome is in direct proportion to the patience I exercised? And to return to my sugar baby, which the fabulous pet test blog for diabetic pets call them. Well, Brandy is doing okay. Her glucose is slowly coming under control. As I say, slow, but okay. She's mapping the house, slow, but okay. And we're learning what works best for her, slow, but okay. My husband also reminded me there was a time when a corneal ulcer threw my sight out completely, which is actually why I wear my glasses instead of contacts now. It took me 3 months to recover, and now, 3 years on, I still have to use drops and see a consultant for dry eyes. That's slow. But in terms of recovery, I'm okay too. And that's all we have time for today. But you can continue your wellness journey with my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey Tang, Tools to Thrive, or with my books and articles on my website, www.draudreytang.com, or tune in to NLive Radio 106.9 FM on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. for the Wellbeing Lounge.